SBR, the People's Pod, giving you unfiltered and unqualified content every single week. I'm Cliffy's Joe. Welcome back, everybody.
What's up, everyone?
We are back. We told you we'd be back. We did Mother's Day.
Eventually.
We did President's Day. We're trying to cover our bases here.
We're back early.
We're back. All right, let's get right into it. Let's take a double step back. Looking at the news, first one, Joe, the Pistons finally snap their 28-game losing streak to the Raptors, who are just, you know, figuring things out.
Yep.
Kuzma also makes fun of the Pistons, but he only had three more wins. Joe, I was very invested in this Pistons losing streak. Yep. I was like, how far can this really go? I was so invested. I was looking up the greatest losing streaks in American sports history, and they were pretty close. They're pretty close to being the worst of all time.
They probably deserve the losing streak of all time, even though they don't have it. But yeah. It was fun to watch.
It was really fun to watch. Joe, Ja is back. He already had more wins than the Pistons, but then Ja hurt his shoulder, and he's out for the season. No, Joe, yeah. But... did he also do a gun celebration after a dunk?
Yep. Definitely did. He did it, and then he thought about it, and then he was like, wait a minute. Am I just Gilbert Arenasing this, like, verbatim? Like, note for note?
One for one?
Lyric for lyric? I'm just going to do it exactly. And then he slightly changed it. But, unfortunately...
apparently, it's the rock yo hips dance. Apparently. I deep dived this. I looked up three videos. Rock yo hips dance?
Yeah.
In the title? None of them do what he does.
They don't do the guns.
None of them do what he does. You know what they do? They move their hips, and then they do hearts.
Yeah.
They do hearts, right?
They don't.
What Ja did was shoot pistols, and then a rocket launcher.
Yeah.
Because the pistols weren't good enough. I was like, what?
That is a clear double pistol rocket launcher. It's a clear dualies and a rocket. Like, I don't know how you can see anything else. What else Fortnite. Could it possibly be? If you've ever played any game, that is a clear dual Beretta rocket launcher.
To be fair, his hips were moving. So, I guess.
Yeah. I guess the hips part of the dance, but not the upper body.
Joe, Jordan Poole, the pod favorite here, has the worst plus minus amongst any player that has played an NBA minute this season. 520 eligible players.
It's crazy.
Minus 340. Meanwhile, Derek White has the best, plus 346, and then, you know, Jokic and all that stuff. Joe.
That's crazy.
What do you think?
I think it makes 100%. Sometimes, Cliff, you hear a stat and you're like, yeah. You're like, yeah, exactly. I mean, it just bears out something that everybody sees and everybody knows already. And you're like, yeah, that's when stats are 100% correct. Cliff, by the way, the aforementioned Kyle Kuzma, who made fun of the Pistons, number two worst in plus minus, minus 320. So, I mean, this is the greatest Shaqton a Fool duo of all time. I mean, there's nobody greater than these. It's crazy that, you know, Jeremy Sohan is the next guy, and he's minus 288 on a 5-30 Spurs team. I mean, Jordan Poole is minus 50 more than him. More than minus 50 more. And they play the same amount of games, by the way, in case anyone's wondering. 35 games played. Minus 50 more? Jeez. I mean, this is historically bad.
That actually, we should find out what the worst all-time plus minus is and see if he's on pace. I'm sure he is.
He's got to be on pace.
I'm sure he's on pace.
It's
no
crazy
one that plays this many minutes is this negative and plus minus?
Cade is fifth. How is he fifth? They only have three wins. Should he not be first? How is Jordan Poole so... He's minus 270. Jordan Poole is 70 worse. He's minus 70 worse. And Cade's played one more game than him.
Which is a loss.
Yeah, and when you're losing by this much every game, you know, it's like...
To be fair, the Pistons' losses are just tragic. They're just like, they keep it close, and then they lose by 10. Oh. It's like, what? Man, how did that happen? Like
a couple overtime losses recently. It's so sad.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
All right, Joe. Draymond is back. After 12 games, after going to therapy, told Adam Silver he was going to retire because it was all too much. What? What was too much? Just don't punch anybody. What?
Just
what
stop tornado
about?
Punching. Stop zangiefing people. Stop haggering people. You know, just stop doing it.
What? What's too much? What are you talking about? I don't know what he's talking about, Joe. Are the Warriors going to be back with Draymond back?
Cliff, I have seen on social media many of these, like, brr, you know, and then there's like a hip hop beat comes in and it's a picture of Draymond and it's like, uh-oh, the league better look out when Draymond gets back. They'll be better. They'll be marginally better. They'll be okay. Apparently, Warriors fans are extremely angry at Steve Kerr.
For what?
I guess not playing the young guys.
The
not
young
playing
guys?
Kuminga
and Moody?
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of strange. It is a bit head-scratching, I will say that.
Kerr's been known to have short rotations, though.
But like, it's not working now. I mean,
it's not working now.
When you have massive top-level talent, that makes sense.
Yes, true.
You know, but
if you're Phoenix.
Clay's not the same. Wiggins looks like he's slowing down. Draymond's out. You just basically have Steph. So wouldn't you rather have Steph and then a bunch of other guys, you know, rotating in and out, kind of a hot hand approach, or depends on the matchups? I don't know.
I agree. You got to be able to adapt. But he is who he is, right? Thibodeau is who he is. Not everybody is Eric Spoelstra.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Spo, man.
Not everybody is Eric Spoelstra.
Everywhere he goes. Jaime Jaquez? This guy's a beast. Kevin Love is having a renaissance of his career right now. Duncan Robinson disappeared, MIA, right? And then all of a sudden, he's like amazing again. He got better, actually.
I told everybody we should have traded Westbrook for Duncan Robinson.
I thought Duncan Robinson would definitely get his stroke back, but man, he's driving way more. And him and Bam have that like backdoor thing going.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
He worked on his handles like crazy.
Yeah. It's apparent. Yeah. That he needs to refer his dribbling coach to Jaylen Brown. That is obvious. Because that fool's still turning it over at the end
with his
of
left
games.
Hand.
Still. It's the same thing every time.
The spin move. And he loses the ball.
Every time. How?
Right
How
hand
did you
spin
not work
to
on
the left hand, and then he just goes off his foot.
How did you not work? Like, he's so good. Why didn't he just work? Like, literally just
dropped,
needed to work
40,
on one thing.
41 recently.
Just needed to work on one thing, literally. Even in that game, Cliff, which they lost, on a terrible call, by the way, I will say.
Yeah.
But, I mean, still, he was turning it over down the stretch on the same move. Same move. They all got the tape, man.
All right, Joe, last one. The Clippers are surging. They won 15 of the last 18. Do you regret anything you've said about the Clippers?
Of course not. The Clippers are the Clippers, Cliff. You know, I do not doubt the Clippers' curse. I doubt a lot. I've recanted things, Cliff. I will recount things when I'm wrong. But, you know, you don't bet against the Clippers' curse, all right? You don't bet against the Clippers curse. I foresee.
I apologize for many things.
Yes. I know they have many, many all-star appearances on the floor every night. They got some MVPs on the floor. They got a lot of things going for them. But, you know, I mean, Clippers curse is undefeated so far, Cliff. Clippers curse. I'll say this. The Clippers curse is beating Father Time right now. Okay? Because the Clippers curse cannot be defeated. And LeBron is just like owning Father Time right now. Father Time is worried. Okay.
He is.
He's worried that he's going to be out of a job soon.
He was already on notice with Brady.
Yeah. I mean, Tom Brady, he beat Father. I mean, let's be honest. Okay. He won that match. Okay.
He won.
LeBron is winning. And even guys like Steph appears that he's not really slowing down. He's still being pretty amazing. KD, after Achilles surgery, still looks pretty dang good.
He does look pretty good.
I can't imagine Jokic. Like, I think Jokic can do exactly what he's doing now, but better when he's 45. Why can't he do that when he's 45? I can do all the moves Jokic is. Like, if I was as skilled as Jokic, like, physically is what I'm saying. Physically.
ACL surgery.
Yeah, and I have a torn ACL currently. I've had an ACL surgery in the past and a torn ACL, and I can still do Jokic's moves right now. Will I make those bucks? No, I'm going to make it because I'm not as skilled as him, but physically I can do it. I saw this video.
You could do a slow spin move.
Yeah, I could do a super slow spin move. I could gallop down the floor and launch a shot from 40 feet. Am I going to make it? No, I'm not going to make it, but I can do it. I can physically do it. Wait, I have to, real quick. I saw this video of, I think it was Michael Jai White, the martial artist actor.
Okay.
Who is, he was talking about like the difference between a fake martial artist.
Okay.
And like a real martial artist actor versus a fake. And he was talking about Steven Seagal basically. And he's like, okay. You know, when you see Steven Seagal in a movie and the things he's doing, his kind of litmus test question was, can your dad do that?
Okay.
He's like, can your dad do that? And you know, Steven Seagal, he does all this like, he does all these like choppy.
Yeah.
It's a lot of slap fighting hand moves. Yeah. And it just, the stuntmen make him look good basically was the argument.
Right.
And he's like, Jean-Claude Van Damme is like a real martial artist because your dad can't do the splits like that on two chairs. You know, he can't hold himself up between two big rigs, right? Like
legs. Two big rigs, exactly.
Yeah, and you know, so even though, like, a lot of that's about choreo, but that part of it, can they do that, is about their actual ability.
Okay.
Right? And I was thinking about that, and I was like, you know what, though? It kind of applies across all sports, right?
Yeah.
But not for Jokic.
Because your dad can do it.
All of his moves.
He learned from a dad at the YMCA.
Anybody can do it. They can't make it, right?
Yeah.
They can't make it like he can. You know, they can't see the floor like he can, right? He can. It's up here. His ability is all up here.
Yeah.
But they can do it, though. I mean, except for that one stupid.
The closest I ever sat at a basketball game recently. I texted you about this while it was happening. Sat third row at Clippers versus Nuggets in the preseason, and Jokic almost had a triple double with 20 points in the first half.
Yep.
And I was confused. I was like, "What has he even done? What has he even done?" I saw Aaron Gordon go up for an alley-oop. I was like, "Oh shoot!" Yeah. I saw Jamal Murray do some like handles and shoot from deep. I was like, "Oh shoot!" I was like, what has Jokic even done? So the second half, I was like, I got to focus. I got to like watch him. Right?
Yeah.
Because he is like escaping me. The dude just was slowly, like he is the slowest person on the court. Easily. He has the least athleticism on the court. But somehow, everything he throws up just goes in. Everything he touches.
It's amazing.
Everything he touches.
It's amazing.
I texted you this recently. You have him on your fantasy team. He missed 4 shots in 5 games.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. I don't even check his stats. You know, in fantasy, you usually check all. I don't check because I know he's going to have like a triple double. I don't even check. Yeah. It's just like, oh, the other guys,
39-11.
Other guys do it.
Yeah, 39-11.
You know what's. I think he's the only guy maybe ever in sports that you watch live. You know, most guys, you watch them live.
Yeah.
And you realize, like, people think they're good at basketball. And then you watch professional players live and you're like, oh, gosh, I could never, ever.
I could never do that. Yeah, yeah,
I could never, ever play in the NBA. Yeah. Like, obviously. Yeah. I mean, these guys are amazing. And you watch Jokic and you're like, I feel like I could. Maybe I can make it. Maybe I'm good enough. Like any sport, right? You go watch a boxing match like live and you're like, oh my gosh.
Their hands are fast.
Yeah, my weekend gym membership is does not nearly approach the level.
Right? Oh my gosh, they are hitting quick.
Look at the serve speed. Like, yeah, I mean, look at the forehead. Like, you watch Jokic and you're like, huh. Like, oh. Maybe.
Even like JaVale McGee, I'm like, oh, dude. Oh, shoot.
Oh, yeah, you know? Of course.
Like DeAndre Jordan, I'm like, oh, shoot. Dude, you're so good.
Go watch a live badminton pro. You know, you're like, oh, my gosh. Like, I could never, ever do this. Golf, right? You're like, wow. It's just so amazing. And you watch Jokic, and you're like, huh.
For all the crap we give Jordan Poole, I can't do what he does. I'm like, oh, shoot.
No. Yeah, his moves are insane.
Your moves are crazy. You stop on a dime.
That's partly what makes Jordan Poole so amazing. It's because, like, you got to get built. It's like a good joke, right? It's like the setup is so good. I mean, if it's all punchlines, you know, it's not as good. You got to have a good setup. And Jordan Poole has some great setups. Oh, juked him out of his. Oh, and then there it got blocked. Whoops. Turned it over, made five guys fall down, sprited, right? It's like, that's what you need. You need the setup.
I did not expect this to go that long, but that was fantastic. That's fantastic.
That's the joy of this podcast, Cliff.
All right, Joe, new game that we came up with.
To be clear, guys, just to let you know, Cliff says, hey, we're playing a new game today. I said, okay, what's it called?
Say that, yes.
It's called Hold or Unload. And I said, what? I said, what? He said, hold or unload. He's like, yeah, you know, it rhymes.
But I meant it like, you know, like Lil Wayne, you know, like Lil Wayne, you know, hold or unload, you know.
Yeah, like that, you know, but I was like, these are two unrelated words, Cliff. There's no thematic link here. And then we discussed what he meant by it, and we came up with stash it or cash it.
Okay, this is based on the teams with the most first round picks through the end of this decade. Okay, so in order, you got OKC. You got Utah, you got San Antonio, and you got the Knicks. Let's start with the Knicks. Mm. They got 11 first-rounders, and four of those picks will be this year, the end of this season, four first-round picks. Man. Right now, of course, they're 19-15. They haven't lost since they got Ananobi, which is pretty good. They've moved up to fourth in the East, actually, as of this podcast. Brunson, 26-4-6, 47%, 43%. Randall's 24-10-5. It's the same, right? 48-29%. They got a bunch of other modest interest guys. You got Josh Hart, Hartenstein, Mitchell Robinson, who they, like, will not get rid of. DiVincenzo. And, of course, they made their first cash it of the season, trading OG Anunoby, and they gave away RJ and Emmanuel Quickly. Mm. Wow. Joe, after that, should the Knicks continue to cash it or should they stash it?
I'm actually going to say they should just cash it.
Mm.
Yeah, I think Brunson is much better than anybody thought he would be.
Yeah, he's a star. Yeah, he's a stud.
He is a borderline top 10 player right now. And particularly with considering availability, injuries, question marks with a lot of the other players in the league.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, Brunson is like the model of consistency right now. As you said, 26, 4, 6, 47% from the field, 43% from three. Yeah. You know, people are saying stuff about him being gunner. Undersized. Yeah, and people are saying stuff about him being undersized, but it's like...
Yeah, Becky Hammond.
But I don't... Yeah, yeah. But I don't see it on the court, though, right? No, yeah. I understand that argument about...
Yeah.
Because, yeah, is he a Giannis? You know, is he
no,
like that?
No, of course not.
No, of course not. But what I will say is... All players have their flaws, right?
Yes.
Giannis, free throw line, when it gets to clutch time, you know, build the wall, make him shoot, right? And we've seen him, you know. And then you think of even guys who you think, oh, but no, there are guys who have no weakness, like KD. No, we've seen KD. Like, get physical with him. Remember what the Celtics did to him. Remember even last year in the playoffs. Like, he's not always – like, everybody has flaws.
Yeah, tweet at him, you know.
Look, they are much better than people think they are or kind of expect them to be outside of New York because, of course, they believe that they have a championship team every year. But I think they should cash it. See what they can do with this team rather than wait because their window – it's not a championship window, I'll say, obviously, as constructed.
Yeah.
But who knows? Right, they got to get one of those who knows runs like the 99 Knicks did to get to the finals, right? It's like
Miami
never know
does.
What's going to happen.
Like Miami does.
You never know. Other guys can choke. Other guys can get injured, right? Just be right there on the side. Like they're good enough to just like try to be right there on the sideline if they improve a little bit. And then who knows, right? Like it's kind of a puncher's chance, yeah.
You definitely have to cash it if you're the New York Knicks. They have two playoff appearances in the last 10 years. Hmm. Like, they always, yet every season, Knicks fans think they're going to win the championship. Joe, I want to bring you a Clutch Points article. 5 best free agent signings in New York Knicks history.
Hmm.
Number one, Allen Houston, 27 years ago. We're already off to a bad start. Number two, John Starks. 33 years ago. It's not looking great.
It's not looking good.
Number three. Those are two Anthony Mason is on that list. Uh-huh. Jalen Brunson. Julius Randle.
Wow.
Those are the 5 best free agent signings in Knicks history. No one is coming. No one is coming, New York Knicks fans. If there are any New York Knicks fans listening, they're not coming. Stop believing. KD and Kyrie openly plotted to come play in New York. They met with the Knicks and they said, so Brooklyn?
That's pretty bad. That is really bad. Yeah, I think. Yeah.
Brooklyn?
The Knicks are kind of like. You got to take your chances when you find him.
Yes.
You know, this is your friend who, and if you're older and you're single and you want to be, that's, of course, totally fine. But this is your friend who is really desperate to get married.
Yep.
And they're, you know, getting up there in age and they are super duper picky. Right. Like, every single time they're like, but, you know, it's like, she's great. Like, she has a great personality.
Yeah.
She is in the perfect kind of age range. We get along. She's beautiful. Like, all these kind of, but, you know, it's like some small little, but.
Yeah.
You know, she's her dog. It's not my favorite.
Her dog. It's not my favorite breed.
Not my favorite breed. It's not hypoallergenic. You know, it's like just some kind of little, and you're just like, you know, bud. I almost said someone's name right there. You know, bud. You know, guy. At some point, you know, you gotta just. That's what I'm saying, Knicks fan. You know, you can't just keep being left at the altar. Like you were
with
Donovan Mitchell.
They didn't even get to the Donovan Mitchell.
Well, they were at the altar.
They were at the altar.
The other party didn't even start the relationship yet, though. And they keep waiting at the altar for some, you know, fantasy of a supermodel that's not even real. And instead of, there's this great person right in front of you, you know? It's like the protagonist in a rom-com, but just can't see it. I think they got to build around Brunson, Randall, the team that they got now. I actually like getting OG. I like shipping off RJ Barrett. I never really liked Barrett. I don't think he is going to turn into anything special.
He's not the guy.
Yeah, he'll be a fine player. I don't think he's a bad player, but I don't think he is the guy. OG is much better two-way player. Get some more guys. Get some more shooting. You know, get some more depth. Maybe get a third. If you can get a third guy, a legit third guy, go get a legit third guy.
Maybe a second guy.
Yeah. Then Randall.
They need a second guy.
Then they might really be a kind of a champion. If they can get like a Brunson level player, but like a wing. I mean, then you're seriously in the hunt.
To me, the Knicks are like Wario. Okay, Wario. They think they're the coolest, the anti-hero. But he's nothing. He's nothing. He thinks he's the arch rival to Mario. It's Bowser. Bowser's the real arch nemesis. What do you think? He's a fan favorite. Sure. Fans love Wario. But what has he ever actually accomplished? Nothing. Nothing. You're right. Surround Brunson with something real. Knicks fans, please stop talking about getting Embiid. It's not happening, okay? Please, just stop. Why? Just stop it, okay? They should try to take a chance to get Zion, right? Ooh. Zion is like, you know, there's a lot of question marks with Zion right now. They have a lot of picks. You know the Pelicans love picks. Try to throw it out there. If Golden State, they should watch it closely. If Golden State blows up, if something goes wrong, they should throw all the picks at Steph. Try to pry Steph out of their hands. They got new management. Bob Myers is not there. So maybe they could try to do the same. Maybe they should get DeJounte Murray. He's on the block right now. Mm. Pairing that with Brunson, that's interesting. Maybe even Markkanen. They're shopping Markkanen. Maybe picks. Maybe Utah wants picks. I don't know. But now is the time because you're not getting Embiid. Don't hold it for Embiid. It's never gonna happen. Never, never, never going to happen.
I like DeJounte. I like the idea of getting DeJounte.
Yeah.
Because it's weird, and I didn't like it in Atlanta. And then you would think, oh, but isn't it kind of similar situation, you know, another undersized guard? But I think it's different. Brunson's a bigger guard. He's not tall, but he's, like, stronger than Trey. And I think he can still hold his own on defense. Like, you know, when they try to matchup hunt against Brunson, I don't think it really works.
Yeah. Right?
Like, I think it's kind of that's fool's gold. That's a trap, you know, for you if you try to run your offense that way. And then DeJounte, I think, is a really good defensive guard. So then you're just going to be real tough on defense. That already matches what they like to do. It matches Tibbs. They're going to play hard. DeJounte, obviously, he can score. So then you got a lot more scoring. He's clutch, as far as I can tell. Alleviate some of the pressure off Randall, right, to have to do anything, really, in the playoffs. He can kind of just be around and have his good games here and there.
Yeah.
Yeah, get some, you know, shooting, two-way guy. You know, just keep – build that depth. They need to go, like, the kind of Miami route, right? They got to try to get these type of guys who can be two-way. Jack up a bunch of threes, you know, like on offense. I think they can. They can be the New York version of Miami. They don't have that culture, but they have the – it's like a blue-collar culture.
Tibbs culture.
Yeah. And I do think that that's going to – that can
help. That's always historically been the Knicks kind of credo.
I mean, the guys you named, Anthony Mason, John Starks.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's
–
it's,
that's been their crew.
Yeah.
All right, Joe, let's move on to the Spurs. They got 12 first-rounders. They have 6 coming up in the next 2 years. But, you know, it's been a pretty sad run for Pop. 4-year playoff drought, about to be 5. 10 years since his last championship. It's kind of like Belichick. Maybe it was Brady after all. Maybe it was Duncan after all. You know, Wemby, though, looks to be the future of basketball players right now. 19-10, 3-1-3, 44%, 29%. So it's not great from three. Mm-hmm. He still takes those runner three-pointers. And they have other players that are going to be like solid role player guys, right? They got Vassell, Keldon Johnson, Zach Collins, Sochan. You know, Joe, should the Spurs stash it or should they cash it?
Cash it. 100% cash it.
Mm.
Yeah, they already got they already got the player that they want.
Yeah.
You know, they have Wemby. They just need to build around Wemby. They need to go out and get some veterans, and they need to get a great, like, number two guy who is established in the league, right? And that's gettable. And the thing is, I feel like when you're going through the draft, you just don't know, right? And I feel like it's hard to get a lot of good young players all at the same time. Do you know what I mean? It's possible. I mean, I wouldn't hate them if they stashed it. I wouldn't hate them if they're like, all right, we're going to keep trying to like build through the draft and win again. But I feel as though that is very difficult. And it could just kind of end up being a waste.
Yeah.
Right. Because yes, there are times where that works. Like you got kind of the OKC. I mean, OKC, they just seem to hit it out of the park every single, like they just pick amazing guys.
They're smart.
Over and over and over and over again.
Very impressive scouting department.
Yeah. But on the other hand, I don't know. You know, you see a lot of times like teams get picks over and over and over again and they just keep making mistakes. And so, like, I guess the opposite end of that is kind of like Philly, who went all in for a bunch of picks and even got some great guys and still has kind of underachieved after tanking for, like, all those years. So I think it's better for
Wemby
to... They
had the perfect team. Philly had the perfect team. They had Simmons, J.J. Redick, Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris, Embiid. The perfect team.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it.
And then, like, stupidly, they didn't keep it together. I kind of feel like that is... You know, I mean, this whole thing is like, you got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, right? It's like, you got to know when to cash. And I think if you have Wemby, go ahead and I'm not saying they have to get rid of 12 first rounders is a lot, but I think they should get rid of a lot of them. Yeah, like 8 of them, you know, to get more veterans and get more. Because this team, if they're just all young guys, they have a lot of talent right now. Like I really like Devin Vassell. Like Sohan's pretty good. Even Zach Collins is like underrated, I feel like. But they suck.
They
have no veteran leadership, no idea how to play, like no idea how to close games unless Wemby's just going nuts by himself, like did on Phoenix. It's crazy when you see that. You're like, oh wow, they're very talented. They should be able to win some games, but they're so bad at just regular things.
Yeah,
you know, shot selection, like rebounding, like transition defense, like there's all these things that they just make all kinds of mistakes on, and I think they need better culture. And you know, if they could get a second guy, that would be really good.
Yeah, most don't know this, but well, maybe they do. I didn't know this, but RC Buford isn't the GM anymore. He got promoted to CEO. So he's still there. That's why I was like, oh, I didn't hear about his ouster. But he didn't get ousted. He got promoted. So Brian Wright is the new GM. And during his tenure, he's had 6 first-round picks in the last 4 years. He got Wemby, of course, Sochan, Malachi Branham, Blake Wesley, Josh Primo. We know what happened with him. And Vassell. He's been acquiring picks, okay? He purged DeRozan. He purged DeJounte Murray. He purged Derek White to get these
picks. Would you call him Malachi Branham? Would you call him? he said something weird.
Wait.
You're actually pronouncing a lot of the names correct today, which is kind of throwing me off.
Sorry, I got to go mix ahead. It up sometimes. I got to mix it up
when you went through
sometimes.
The New York thing, I was like, oh, you said like everybody's name right.
Yeah. I gotta mix it up sometimes. Just so you gotta do the Jordan Poole thing, okay?
That's true.
You gotta do the Jordan Poole thing.
Can't be all punchlines.
So yeah, I really don't know with this group. I think if it was me, I would cash it, right? Mm. I think Brian Wright, he's picked whatevs guys. Like, it hasn't really worked out great. Imagine you use these six picks in the next 2 years and you get players of this exact caliber. Like, what's that going to do? I don't know if that's going to do anything for them. You know, like, they got to go get a guy. Like, even if they got back everyone they traded away, Derek White, DeRozan, DeJounte Murray, that's a great team with Wemby.
Yeah.
That's a really good team with Wemby. I don't know.
The thing is, too, like, you think about great picks, they come into good situations. Like, picks that turn out to be great players, right? Like, look at Tatum.
Yeah.
Look at Tatum versus Fultz, right? Yep. Tatum goes to a team that's already established, becomes a role player, right? And now he does very well to his own credit.
Yeah.
But the team was always good and bunch of veterans, right? It's obviously, it's also a good organization, you know, good culture, all that kind of stuff, right? Like, kind of winning tradition. But would he have been the same if they ended up not swapping picks and then he ends up in Philly? I don't know, right? Or he ends up in somewhere, or Orlando or something, or like Sacramento. Like, imagine, like, those were his landing spots. I don't think so, right? Even Kobe.
Yeah.
Kobe comes into LA.
If he was in the Hornets?
And he's immediately in the playoff hunt. He's paired with Shaq. There's a lot of expectations, right? So you got to be a certain kind of player to excel in that situation. However, if you're in the opposite, you go to Charlotte. I don't know, right? It's like, now Kobe being Kobe, of course, I think he would have become something great, but would he have become the same Kobe? Like, I don't know, right? So I think you always want to be, this is why I hate tanking, right? Like, I feel like you always want your organization to be in a good situation. What do they say? Like, luck is when preparation meets opportunity, right? And so you got to be prepared for the opportunity when it comes. You might get somebody really good, but how do you know if he's good? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, he comes to your team, and I don't think the best situation for young players to develop is when you just say, oh, we're just giving you the keys right now. You do whatever you want. I don't think players are actually great in that. Like great players don't usually emerge from that situation, right? There have to be some expectations. There has to be some accountability. There has to be things that they go through, and even guys that they have to beat out, you know, in the rotation, where it's like, okay, I have to prove I'm better than Eddie Jones. You know what I mean? Like, T-Mac in Toronto, like, he had to kind of, like, get into there and break through. And then,
Aaron Rodgers behind Brett Favre.
Exactly. You
know? Brock Purdy right now.
Dude, Tom Brady.
Tony Romo. Tom Brady.
The GOAT of the GOG, right? The GOAT of GOATs was sitting behind, you know, like, Drew Bledsoe. And then he gets his one opportunity. He's ready for that opportunity. He takes it, and, you know, the rest is history.
Versus Jamarcus Russell, you know.
Exactly.
All those people that get the keys from the get-go. Because I think the other part of it is these guys aren't grown men.
Right.
They're 19, 21-year-old kids that get the keys to the kingdom. Like, who's ready for that kind of responsibility?
Exactly. Exactly. So I got to get some veterans, man. Are there veterans on this? Is there any veterans on this team?
No.
Who's on this team? No. It's a bunch of kids.
They're all kids. All right, Joe. I have Utah with 14 first rounders, but no one cares about Utah, okay? They traded away Donovan Mitchell. They traded away Rudy Gobert. They got 7 first round picks, Walker Kessler, Lauri Markkanen, and then 3 first round pick swaps. Great. You know they're going to stash it. What are they going to do?
They have to stash. But
the main event, the main one I want to talk about, the reason I picked this topic, we got to talk about the Oklahoma City Thunder. 15 first-round picks. 9 are coming up within the next 3 years. traded away Westbrook, traded away Paul George, traded away Chris Paul. For the 2020-2021 season, the OKC ended the year with 22 wins. This year, they hit 22 wins before the new year. Second in the West.
Yeah.
MVP contender, SGA, 31, 6'6", 2.5 steals on 55% shooting. It's his second season averaging 31 points per game. It kind of makes no sense how he scores so much. He's not particularly fast or explosive.
He's fast.
But, man, he may have the best start and stop in the league. Like, his hezzy dribble, fantastic. Footwork, young Kobe-like. His mid-range jumper is cash always. Might be better than DeRozan's.
Yeah.
It's, like, so good.
Yeah.
And, of course...
And like we said, the slow Euro, man. Everyone in the NBA now, all the kids, man, they all learn the slow Euro. It's just so good.
So good. He's cash. Dude, you can't stop him. Rookie of the Year frontrunner, Chet Holmgren. The baby giraffe in the blizzard. He's doing really good. 18-8, 3-1-3, 54%.
Got them snowshoes, Cliff.
He got them snowshoes. And, of course, Jalen Williams, who looks like a pretty good impact player, 18-4-4. Of course, Josh Giddey's there. So, OKC Thunder. Stash it or cash it, Joe?
Obvious cash. Obvious cash. They got luck. I shouldn't call it luck, actually, because OKC has such a good track record of
Sam
picks.
Presti.
I mean, come on, man. They have been amazing, right?
Knocks it out of the park.
Yeah, you got to give them credit. I mean, again, what are the Clippers thinking about SGA right now? I don't know. But I love – this is why, actually, I love OKC. I hope OKC wins a championship. You know, with this team at some point, because they honestly deserve it. Like, they're a small market team. They don't play the kind of Yankees, like, try to go over the top, try to pay
the
guys.
Dodgers.
Yeah, the Dodgers. But, you know, I love the Dodgers. It's like,
look, it is what it is.
We win, all right? We
it is what
win
it is.
With this squad, we're paying $1 billion. Okay. Anyway, happy about Otani, though. But, I mean, they do it the right way. They've stolen assets from other teams.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, they had the one time where they should have just paid everybody, and they should have just went into the luxury tax, and they should have just kept Harden. But who knows, right? Like, I'm not going to say at this point for sure that that team would have won a championship.
Yeah.
You know? If this were in the past, I think when we did our kind of multiverse, would they have won a championship? I think we're both pretty sure that they would have won at least one. But look at it now. I mean, look at all the problems. Westbrook and Harden actually played together again, right?
Yeah.
And then they're playing together again now.
Yeah.
And KD's had his problems outside of Golden State. I mean, who knows, right? Would they have? What is undeniable is that they are incredible assets, and OKC has, you know, they've done the homework. They've built the team the right way. You know, get some more size, right? Get some guys who can play defense inside. You know, continue to bolster just your roster. Get a third guy. If you could get a third guy. Jalen Williams is kind of the third guy, but if you get a guy who's better than Jalen Williams, I mean, who could beat them? They just need experience at that point. I think in like 2-3 years, right? They'll probably be in the finals.
Yeah, I don't think Miami is selling, but what if they got someone like Jimmy Butler? You know?
Oh my gosh.
Imagine that. You know, and so to me, it's obviously cash it, right? Yeah. They have everything going for them. Like, this is the exact scenario that Sam Presti imagined, yep. right? He's Kevin Feige-ing it right now. Like, he saw the end game, and this is right now, it's his civil war right now. So he's, like, getting close.
Yeah.
He has all the picks. Everyone laughed. Like, why do you need so many picks? Why do you need so many picks? Everyone laughed at him. Dude, how quickly has he rebuilt this team?
So fast. Who thought they would be this good this fast? I mean, they're going to get to the at least the second round this year, right?
Even getting Chris Paul was so genius. It got SGA playoff experience, and it taught him how to lead a team. How genius was that?
It's crazy. It's crazy. They might go to the conference finals this year. I mean, I'm sure they won't go to the finals, but that would be crazy if they made that kind of run.
It'd be insane. How many people had them being inside the play-in? Like,
I think most people had them in the play-in, but...
Yeah, everyone had them in the play-in.
Not. I mean, not home court in the first round?
Yeah, no one had that. Yeah, no one had that. No one had that. And we'll find out how good he really is, but man, SGA, he's the next one up.
Because I feel like they really need like a JV or something.
JV? My boy JV?
Yeah, your boy JV type guy, I feel like would really help this team. Right? They have no bigs.
Yeah, they're 28th in rebounding. They give up the most offensive rebounding in the league, right?
I mean, they have Chet, but Chet is a giraffe. They need a big body big.
Yeah,
right?
Chet, like the Porzingis's before him, like the Bargnani's before him, even the Brook Lopez's that are shot blockers that can also shoot threes, they're not rebounders, right? They're not Dwight Howard's, right? That are they're not even Andre Drummond's.
You need the wide shoulders, to take up space in the lane. Exactly.
Drummond just had almost a 2020 game.
He did.
Yeah.
He did.
Like, what year is this?
He's rebounding is just in his blood. Yeah.
Yeah. They got to go get rebounding. They got to get somebody that rebounds the ball. And I think they need one more like savvy veteran team culture kind of guy. Mm-hmm. Right. Like the guy that's like, nobody believes in us except us kind of guy. Mm. That's why I like something like Marcus Smart, this team. Smart.
Yeah.
You know, where he's you know, team culture guy, team leader guy, you know, like he can offset some ball handling, some of the ball handling responsibilities. He's not going to be like the greatest 3-point shooter. He's not going to be all that, but he will give it to you certain nights. But it's the locker room stuff, the cohesion stuff that I think is going to be really important with them. And the big, really big flaw is lack of playoff experience, which they'll get this year, and rebounding, you know? Mm-hmm. So, like, they just got to get a big.
Yeah.
Maybe it's JV, maybe it's somebody else, but they have a lot they can cash in with, right? And so I think they don't need any more young guys. They got the core young guys. Now they need veterans that are willing to do the dirty work, that teaches them, like this is how you got to do it to win, you know? The Taj Gibsons, but not Taj Gibson because he played what 10 minutes and he was like, sub me out, I'm gassed. Those kind of guys.
He needs to get in an announcer booth or something.
But yeah, they got to cash it. They got to cash it. All right, Joe, let's do a bonus. All right, we got to talk about the Lakers. Every year, rumors of trades. Every year, LeBron passive-aggressive. Every year, media asks the Lakers to get LeBron help. Every year, fans are asking to fire the coach.
Yep.
I'm not going to dignify a stash it or cash it with the Lakers at this trade line. Joe, instead, we're going to blaze him pizza right now. Blaze him pizza. Jeannie Buss, Rob Pelinka, Darvin Ham, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, D'Lo, Austin Reeves, other role players. I'll go first because I'm passionate about this. Let me just say this. This team is nearly the perfect team around LeBron. Let me just tell you that right now. Talent, they have it. They got Anthony Davis. They got former All-Stars. They got rising stars. They got youth. They got young players. They got young players that are good. You got Hachimura. Like, these guys are good. You got veterans. You got three-point shooting, right? D'Lo was a great three-point shooter. Taurean Prince, good three-point shooter. All these got three-point shooters. They have playmaking. They have defense. They have all these things. They also have the continuity from the Western Conference Finals team, Joe. They have all of that. So here's my blazon. This is the lowest I've ever given him, but I'm giving LeBron 10% of the blame.
Ooh.
10%. This is the lowest. He's 39. He can't be the focal point. It's obviously AD's team. His blame, for me, comes from all his passive aggressiveness, his bad body language, as well as on-the-court defensive ineffectiveness. That's his fault. He gets 10% of the blame. I give AD 25% of the blame because he cannot grab the brass ring if his life depended on him. He just cannot. Just go get it, my friend. Be the man. Be the leader. You do it every other game. Just do it more consistently. I give Rob Pelinka 0% of the blame. He's built a great team. What is he supposed to do? Everyone wants Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine freaking sucks. Why should he have to go after that guy? He got the right guys. D'Lo said, I want to be like Derek White. He didn't say, I want to be like Jordan.
Yeah.
He said, I want to be a winner like Derek White. Derek White, who has the best plus minus in the league right now.
Yep.
What a great person to aspire to be. But Joe, I have to give 65%, the majority of the blame, to Darvin Ham and the coaching staff. Because I've never seen someone fumble the bag so poorly. The Lakers have zero offensive plays. 24th in offensive rating. 24th!
Yep.
Wizards, Hornets, Blazers, Pistons, Spurs, Grizz are the only ones worse. And all of them are either missing their stars or actively tanking. Or worse, the Pistons, because they just suck. What's even worse than that, Joe, is that they're 8th in pace, but yet 24th in offensive rating. If they played a regular pace, they'd be 30th. They might be the worst offensive team in the league. Joe, and what's worse is he doesn't take the accountability, even though he preaches accountability. When he talks about, I'm tired of people living and dying with every game. It's a marathon, not a sprint. But Joe, if you walk the marathon in the beginning, you're not going to finish the marathon in the end. Because you know what happens? The police cars are cleaning up the marathon in the back. And we've talked about it on this podcast. They won the inaugural in-season tournament. We talked about it. But they didn't beat anyone substantial, and they haven't beaten anyone substantial during the season thus far. They've lost to every good team, every single one. So what is he proud of? What is he proud of? I don't know. So to me, that's my blazing pizza. Joe, what do you think?
I think Cliff, can you see me? Can
of
you
course.
See me?
Yes.
Because yes. I think you're Genjutsu'd right now.
Am I?
Are you? Do you know what's happening? Or
did I get Genjutsu? Is it because LeBron has been with us for 5 years? It's the Cliff, long play Genjutsu.
Why are the Lakers playing bad right now? Let me just ask a simple question. Okay, why are the Lakers playing bad right now?
Well, their stars are bad.
Because LeBron doesn't want to win, Cliff. That is the simple answer to that question. Okay, did they want to win the in-season tournament?
They did.
Did they win the in-season tournament?
They did.
See, that's it. That's the whole answer right there. If they wanted to win, they'd be winning. Okay, and LeBron, he's not trying to lose. Okay, I will never accuse LeBron of tanking. I don't think he ever tanked in all of those pre-trade deadline lulls, which happens, as you said, every single season for every single team LeBron has been on. And yet it's the same move, but people still fall for it every single time. Do you know who we got last year? The people we're trying to trade right now. That's who we got last year.
Yeah, the D-Lows, and they're great.
Remember? And remember when we got him and everyone was like, oh, what the Rui? We just got Rui. They just gave us Rui for what? D'Lo. And D'Lo was tearing it up. Remember D'Lo was amazing.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, oh, dude, I love D'Lo. Came back to LA. He's matured. He's a different player.
He's
a different guy. But that's the people that everyone wants to ship out now, Cliff.
No. We should not ship them out. They're great.
Everyone wants to ship out Rui. Everyone wants to ship out D'Lo. That's you, but
no.
Trust me, all the fans out there, they're blaming the as you said, every year. This playbook is so predictable. This is the Remember the Titans playbook, Cliff. It's five plays. Works like Novocaine. Just let it set in. Okay, LeBron James has not changed his playbook on media engagement in, you know, 15 years because he figured it out 15 years ago where he was like, hey, all I got to do is sulk a little. I got to rope-a-dope a little bit, right? I got to make it seem like I'm old or, you know, something. I'm bad. I'm out of shape. Whatever it is. Team's not good enough. Media is all going to come. You know, just got to send Wendy a couple texts, right? Wendy's going to go on ESPN. He's going to put it out there that the team's unhappy with the coaching staff. Team's unhappy with the way things are going.
It's already out there.
Cliff, I've seen this playbook year after year after year after year. Cliff, since we've started the podcast, we have never had a different playbook than this exact playbook, Cliff.
So you're telling me that I got Genjutsu'd.
Yeah.
He has entrapped me.
Yeah. You went, hey, what's this? What's this little doll right here? Let me just pick it up. And you got caught in a net. Yep. You're stuck in a net, but you don't even know you're in the net.
Oh, no.
You're having a dream that it's a wonderful time.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's just the Tsukiyomi. It's the infinite Tsukiyomi. And now, depending upon how long you're in this, we're going to have a million filler episodes of SBR. Exploring all the infinite Tsukiyomis.
What would our filler episodes be?
Everyone's dream of everything that could possibly happen. I don't know, but... I give LeBron, I mean, I don't even think we should do a Blazin' Pie, a Blazin' Pizza.
It's not time yet.
Cliff, this is predictable. Did we not predict that the Lakers would win the in-season tournament? And did we not predict that they would be whatever right after?
We did.
Because they didn't care. We knew they wouldn't care. They don't care about any of these games. They're going to make the playoffs. They're probably going to maybe get out of the first round. They're not going to do much else. Right? And we know this. We know this, Cliff. If I had to give blame, quote unquote, I don't call it blame because I don't think anything is happening out of the plan. That's why I don't want to call it blame. But if I had to give credit, it should be a credit pizza, right? If I had to give credit, I give LeBron 50% of the credit because this is what he wants. He wants us to look bad and he wants us to make a trade for a good player. Okay. Probably he wants Zach LaVine. That's my assumption. Maybe DeJounte. Okay. He probably wants one of those guys. He probably wants to get rid of D'Angelo Russell. D'Angelo Russell is the only player on this team who is a threat to the LeBron James offense.
Mm.
He's the only player who can run an offense outside of LeBron James. Like, legitimately. Austin can't. He can get his own shot. He can't really run the offense. D'Angelo, we saw it when LeBron was out last season. Do people not remember how good this team was?
They were
when
great.
When LeBron was out of the lineup, D'Lo ran pick and roll with AD. He's the only guy who can actually run pick and roll.
This is all true.
People don't remember. LeBron doesn't want D'Lo, okay? Trust me, LeBron doesn't want D'Lo because, one, he doesn't like that there's an offense without him, and two, D'Lo has not been clutch for the Lakers. Okay, that's legitimate.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I think they should just play D'Lo three quarters. Don't play him in the fourth quarter. He's not a closer. Okay,
yeah.
So just don't play him there. Or like early fourth. You know, give him the early fourth minutes. That's where he seems to go on his runs, late third, early fourth. Let him do that. And then at the end of the game, for whatever, I think part of it is just he doesn't fit the LeBron offense. He's not a corner three shooter. What?
He's got warm water in his face.
I mean, we know D'Lo likes the top. He's a point guard.
Point guard's
like top of the key and the wings, you know? And like, obviously that's LeBron's space. He doesn't want anyone in that space.
Yeah.
Austin operates better from the wing or the corner. And so he's okay in there. But look, LeBron's 50%, AD 25%, and then I give the other 25% to management.
Oh.
Because they should have been the ones. The reason I don't give AD a lot of blame is because this team's not built for him. You're saying he should be the one, right? It's not, obviously not. You said in the beginning, it's perfectly built around LeBron. And then you said, AD should be the one. How does that make sense? If AD's the guy, the team's got to be built around him. But LeBron can't have any team that's not built around him. I'm disentangling your genjutsu right now, Cliff. Where you're like, wait a minute. I did say that. Oh, shoot. I did say that this team is perfectly built around LeBron.
It is.
And yet somehow he's not the one who gets the blame. How does that make sense? Mm. Right? If it's perfectly built for him, then it should be on him, not AD. Mm. If AD is to get the blame, he must have the team built around him. They need more shooting, right? They need a pick and roll point guard. Right? Mm-hmm. Like D'Angelo Russell. D'Angelo Russell TJ should be McConnell. The starting point guard. The reason that D'Lo doesn't start is because he doesn't mesh well with LeBron. That's the reason. Right? This, like, everyone can see that. The reason I don't give Darvin Ham any blame is because you cannot have an offense on a LeBron James team. We know this.
Mm.
What should be Darvin Ham's job, Cliff, if his job is not to perfect the offense?
Mm.
It should be to run the defense, right?
Yeah.
Los Angeles Lakers, 11th defensive
rating. They're good in defense. Yep.
That's what they have to be. That's how they won the championship the first time, right? I mean, in 2020, we had a defensive coach, Frank Vogel. Offense was whatever because LeBron runs the offense. Defense was great. That's how the team has to run. You can't have your cake and eat it too, right? You got to pick an identity. If LeBron's going to run the offense, you're going to have, you know, this kind of LeBron offense, whatever he wants. You got to just focus on defense. Team plays good defense. You know, and that's more where your personnel is. And so I don't blame Darvin Ham. I blame this is the team. This is the situation that has been constructed by LeBron and management. This is the situation they want, basically, even though they're also kind of against each other. So it's just, it is what it is, right? And at the end of the day, I never expected the Lakers to be a contender this season, really. So they just kind of, they're 500. It's not a disaster. They'll make the play-in, or they'll make the playoffs, I'm sure. It's whatever. You got genjutsu. You know, it happens to the best of us, Cliff.
It does.
It happens to all of us.
I got genjutsu, everybody. I did. It was hard to untangle it. It was very hard to untangle it. Joe is correct. I said it myself. That team is perfectly built around LeBron. It is the perfect team for him. I said it myself. I'm as shocked as you all are. How did he do it? He wowed me with his dunk. Dunk from the dotted line. I was like, what more can he do? What more can
he
do?
He's 39 years old.
He's 39. He should be an all-NBA player. What more?
He should be the MVP, clearly.
Because he's 39. No one is doing this. Jordan, he can't do it.
Yeah, to be clear, I don't blame LeBron. I don't think he's doing anything bad. I think he's doing what he wants.
There is no blazing pizza. All going according to plan.
Yeah, exactly. This is Orochi's plan. Now, we've seen Orochi work in the past. We've seen LeBron Sama work in the past. And we know at this point, these plans, they just fizzle. They don't end up in world domination, you know? You gotta be a little bit deeper, Sama. You know, I know you just got the Sama playbook, but you gotta go a bit deeper. You know, there's other things happening. You know, there are other things in the world. And Jokic, I mean, look, Jokic has no playbook. He's just OP, right? He's just OP. He just goes to the battle and he just says, I'm just going to win. I'm going to win. And then I need to get home, right? You guys can have a parade without me. I'm going back to my homeland, ride some horses. I'm going to drink out this cup. And that's it.
One last thing. Should the Lakers entertain training LeBron James? Bill Simmons brought up Tyler Hero and something for LeBron.
No one is going to trade for LeBron James, okay? There is no way. Bill, what are you talking about, bro? Like, you think somebody's going to trade for LeBron James? Why on earth would any – I can't think of a – the only team that should trade for LeBron James is Detroit. Detroit is literally the only team.
Washington.
That makes sense. No, I don't even think Washington makes sense because nobody wants Jordan Poole or Kuzma. I mean, Kuzma maybe, you know, in the right situation. No one wants Jordan Poole. Okay, so – and LeBron definitely doesn't want to play with Jordan Poole or Kyle Kuzma. So that doesn't make sense. Detroit – if LeBron had some kind of like – obviously LeBron would never go to Detroit.
Yeah.
So that wouldn't work. But that's for the team. It's – that's – I can't think of – like, would Orlando want LeBron James? Would Miami want LeBron James? Would Utah want LeBron James? Would Sacramento want LeBron James? Would even – maybe Houston? Maybe Houston's a team that might want LeBron James. I don't think San Antonio would want LeBron James. I don't think Brooklyn would want LeBron James. I don't think Toronto would want LeBron James. Like, I can't think of any team that wants LeBron. Houston, Detroit.
What about New Orleans?
That's a tough one. Maybe LeBron for Zion. That's interesting. That is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. That might be the only one that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
That might be the only one that makes legitimately because Zion has so many question marks. Brandon Ingram's a star.
Yeah.
They got JV. They got CJ McCollum. You put LeBron on that team. They're pretty sick, actually. That's a pretty good team.
Yeah.
That's a pretty dang good team.
There you go. You heard it here first.
LeBron probably doesn't want to go to New Orleans.
He does not want to go to New Orleans.
You know, he's not. He's not as into the dance scene as Ja Morant. You know.
Let's say LeBron got a buyout. Where do you think he would want to go? If he could go anywhere on a minimum contract.
For basketball reasons or
for him?
LeBron reasons.
Just LeBron reasons. I mean, he's going to pick LeBron reasons anyway.
I mean, honestly, I don't think LeBron wants to leave LA.
I agree.
You know, I think once he's lived here, us being Californians, Cliff, like born and raised, right? We know California's the best place.
Bronny goes to USC.
Yeah. I mean, California's the best place to live. Just for like when you take everything into consideration, like especially like at LeBron's age, you have a family.
Yeah.
You know, you're not like some young single professional, right? In which case it might be New York, might be a better place, right?
Yeah.
But like once you have a family and stuff, weather, like just convenience, like how nice it is, everything around you.
Even cultural accessibility. There's like every food available on the planet.
Like just all the little things.
Yeah.
You know, when you add them all up, there's of course other things are
Hollywood like, here too.
One or two factors are better in other places.
Sure.
But when you add everything up generally, it's like it's just like a nice place to live. And LeBron, the only other place he would want to go is Cleveland. And I guarantee LeBron doesn't want to go back to Cleveland after living in LA. For the past 5 years. He's definitely not going back to Cleveland. Which is – that's what made sense. I'm like, oh, maybe he'll go back to Cleveland to retire, you know, and like – maybe, but I doubt it. He's going to fly back to L.A. every day, literally, if he goes back to – so, no. I think he's staying here.
I'm like – I can't think of almost anywhere he would want to go because he doesn't want to enhance anyone else's legacy. Like people are like, oh, he would go play with Steph. Like, no. Mm. No way. No way would he go join Golden State to Steph's team.
Mm.
Like, I know he wants to play with Steph on his terms, not on Steph's terms, you know?
I think he came thinking he would go back to Cleveland.
Mm.
But after having played here and lived here, he knows it is much greater for him in literally every sense to just retire as a Laker.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then he's got the jersey, he's got the pantheon, he's part of the legacy. You know, because if he came as a mercenary, he was here 3 years, even if he won a championship, it's very like sketch, you know? Yeah. But at this point, it's like, he's been here too long.
Yeah.
And even I got to be like, you know, all right, he's is a Laker. He's
played longer than his stint in Miami.
He's part of it. It's like you can't really take it away from him at this point. And so now it's best to just lean into it. And he has these three teams that were his three main homes, you know. And it's his hometown, it's Miami, and it's L.A. I mean, it's hard to get much better than that unless he played in New York, you know.
That's it. And he tried to play New York, but I'm sure he met with them and he was like, oh, how's Miami?
He had a phone call right before the decision with them. He was like, oh, shoot. Never mind. That's why he said it was hard. This is hard. This is tough.
I really wanted to be in New York, but I literally
talked to them on the phone.
And it wasn't good. All right. That's it, everyone. Thanks, everyone, for listening to the People's Pod. Subscribe, like, comment, share, rate. Give us 5 stars. We'll be back next week with more nonsense. This is SBR with Papa Joe. Peace. Peace. I got Ganjutsu. I can't believe it. Can't believe it.
Do you agree, though? You think so?
Yeah.
This is literally the same discussion every single season.
Every year, right? I said it. I said it from the beginning. But yet, somehow.
He got
I think
you.
It's because he's been here for so long.
He's charming, man. You know,
he is very charming.
He sucks you in.
He's very good. He's very good.
It's not related. What you're saying is not related to what this thing is. Hold or unload? What?
Maybe you gotta say it the other way. Unload or hold.
It doesn't rhyme no matter how you say it. What are you talking about? What is this? What's the point? Trades?
These are the top four teams that have a bunch of first round picks. Should they trade to improve their team now? Or just hold on to their picks? And then a blazing pizza for the Lakers as a bonus.
I mean, you're basically saying hold them or fold them, right?
Not fold them. It's like,
what?
Let go. Cash it in.
So stash it or cash it.
Oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Oh my gosh. Hold or unload. That was your idea?
Yeah.
All right.
Put that in the deep cut.
You got to tell the people. We'll tell the people.
They don't need enough. They don't need enough.
That was the OG name for the game.
They don't need enough.
Stash it? Should we stash it or stash?
Stash or cash?
Stash 'em or cash 'em or stash it or cash it? Stash it or cash it? No, I like stash it or cash it better. So it's better.
I mean, it was your idea, so.
It's a collaboration, Cliff. Without a really, without a nonsensically bad idea, you can't come up with a good idea. You gotta start with something.